Diligent. Diligent in the Greek is spadeo, and it means to be earnestly activated. It plays on the word speed, haste, meaning when it's addressed, it means you need to get to it. Father wants you to be earnest, and he wants you to be ready. And when this word will be used today a few times, I will call your attention to it when we pass it. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, and this would be Paul writing, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. If you're called to be a Christian, that means you're a Christ man or woman or child to serve the living God. And verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You have to work at it, concentrate, use wisdom to understand the Word of God. Verse 3, endeavoring. Now this is the word spoudazo in the Greek, and it means diligent. Be very diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And naturally, that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And you got a lot of spirits in the world, and some people like to play with them. But diligently, you hold to the Word. You don't let other traditions of men come into your life without proving them out in the Word of God. Verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit. You'll know that's uppercase. That's the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And are you called? Well, something brought you to our Heavenly Father. So you are called. And there's a reason for it always. God doesn't make mistakes. Man might sometimes. Our Father doesn't. One Lord, verse 5, one faith, one baptism. There's no need in you ever being baptized over and over and over. There's only one baptism, and that's to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. That's pretty complete. You've got no other way to go. But if you listen to him, he's the judge. He's who you're judged by. Then you can never go wrong. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He gives it whatever you need or he needs from you. That's what you're going to get. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And there are, we don't all have the same gift. And thank God for that, because we're a many-membered body. There's a lot of things that must be done. There's a lot of people that need that seed planted too, that not the rest of us cannot do it. You have to. Because you're the one God will give the occasion. So that's the way he works. Verse 9, now that he ascended, he went up, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Which, what does that mean? Well, on the lower part of paradise. Okay. He went there and preached so that people all the way back to the time of Noah could have the same salvation you have today, or God would be unfair. He opened that to them. You can document it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. verse 10 to complete. He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he is all things. You know, that's one of the beauties about our Father. Had he not sent Christ all the way back to the beginning, I'll say even to the time of Adam, to give each of them the opportunity that you have to repent and have your sins forgiven, wipe clean. Your letter in heaven then, which is in the book of life, giving you life, or the other choice, which is not too good, it's written, and so is theirs. He made that possible. That shows you the love of our Father. And when he says, I have no partiality to the children, he meant it. He doesn't. He cared just as much about those that lived in Abraham's time, those that lived in Adam's time, as he does you today. He created all those souls. They're his. And he always plays fair, which should strengthen you to let you know, of all things, he's going to be fair to you also. And that's why he gives the gifts, so that you can expand, so that you can diligently, I mean, get into it. I like it that the prime of the word, the etymology, is speed or haste. It means when God tells you to be diligent or to get into something, he means do it now. Be serious about it. Be earnest. Don't try to con him. There's a real important reason why he wishes you to be that way. Turn with me now to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 3. Verse 3 would read then, according as divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And certainly this virtue means resolution, gives you that revolution. But what is this according to? Don't miss it. His divine power. His divine power can come into your life at a time when you need it, and he is there for you. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us excellent, exceeding great and precious promises. These are the promises of God. You want to? He tells you in the great book of Isaiah, claim them. They're yours. Claim them. And let's talk about it. And then we can justify you and what you're doing. So these are part of those promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. How do you have that divine nature watching over you? By partaking of these. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's a wonderful thing, that as much trouble as there is in the world, to know that God has his hand on you and his divine power is over you. That you don't have to get all excited about what's happening in the world. He's going to take care of it. Big time. And he will always keep his hand over you if you participate, if you are diligent. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, there's our word again, take care. That means use haste to do this. Add to your faith virtue. That's resolution. I mean, amount to something. Have a purpose and make it known. And to virtue, that's to say to your resolution, Knowledge, that's intelligence. Where does it come from? It comes from God. That's where you always receive your knowledge and wisdom. You might make a note of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is to love God, to revere Him. The Hebrew word translates both ways, fear to revere. Verses 6, and to knowledge, that's to say to your intelligence, temperance. You know what that is? That's self-control. Boy, that's something, you know, if you lack it, you need it. Self-control gives you the ability to be diligent. Self-control helps guide you and your temper, your down days, the days that somebody might be depressed. Don't practice self-control. God's on the throne. And, you know, it would be kind of a shame to say I'm depressed when you know the divine power is over you. That'd be a shame. That'd be mocking God almost, because He's there. He's real. There's only one, and you're His child. Okay, and to temperance, that's your self-control, patience. You know what patience is? It's steadfastness. Don't be willy-wallying around and change every time the wind changes directions. You stay steadfast, I mean online, diligently, following the very word of God. And to patience, that's say steadfastness, godliness. That means study the word, absorb what it is God would have you know. Verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That's love, love for the family, love for our Father, the love that you have the divine power over you. It's important. You know, there are people in this world today, if they only knew the troubles they go through, that He's right there. And He cares because He loves you. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, if you got it, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge, that's the intelligence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. That's, if you ask for it, you know, a lot of people say, well, I just can't quite understand that. Well, talk to Him. Ask Him to explain it for the sake, not your sake, but so you can share it with others. That's the secret to having God answer you, is not selfishly, I want to know for myself. No, I want to know so I can share the beautiful news. God loves that. He answers that prayer. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I mean, it's a terrible thing to come into the truth and then go back in the ways of the world. You didn't see plainly anyway because you're blind. You got to step in, well, in faith. And you must be, this is what makes diligency so important, is that you hastily rush to the things, the promises of God that He's made for you, that strengthens you, that makes sets you apart from other people. Why? You've got the divine nature of God over you, and He loves you. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's our word again. Diligence means you rush to it. You be earnest about it. You be zealously engaged. Or you could even say to yourself, I urge on. That's what the word means. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That means you're never going to stumble. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall he minister unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. He said, I'm going to hammer this, and you're going to get it if we repeat it and repeat it, because it's too important to forget. It's too important not to diligently grasp for it, to study. Why? To have that divine power over you. That's the Holy Spirit operating in your life, watching you, watching over you, leading you and guiding you. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that's what he does. One more verse, 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So there you have Paul, hammering right up to the end. Don't you forget. Be diligent. Don't play around with God. You either are or you're not. Okay. Well, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. You're a non-believer. There's no such thing as believing a little bit. You either believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you or you don't. Okay. It's that simple. And if you don't, you're in a heap of hurt, my friend. You need to diligently get into the Word to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing it, diligently dividing it, so that you fall under the cloak of divine nature and he guides you. It makes the path a lot smoother. It always gives you hope, gives you understanding. And also, as I stated, you said brotherly love, that means to share with the brethren. The knowledge that you gain. Somebody wants a seed planted. Do you understand how much difference that can make in a life? Just to hear one word. There was one little short sentence drew me into the truth, and I've never been able to pull away from it. That short sentence was, isn't it wonderful to know where America, where we, God's children, are mentioned in the Bible? And that jarred me. I agreed, and then I thought, what did he say? And it started research for years and years. But be diligent in his word. It is ever so important. While we're here in 2 Peter, go on back to chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. You'll all remember this chapter. Chapter 3 gives you the three world ages. It lets you know that what we'll be doing. You know, this is going to happen, and it's not going to be all that long away. That seventh trump is also going to sound, just as the sixth trump is going to sound. And you want to be prepared. So, if we may, let's pick it up in verse 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. And this is looking forward to his return. Looking for the and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements, that's the negative, rude, obnoxious things of the world, shall melt with fervent heat. You could be standing right in the middle of it and it won't singe you. But he's going to destroy that is negative. That's why diligently you want to be under the divine power, because it is your protection. 13, nevertheless, We, according to his promise, here's another one, claim it. Look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There won't be anything but righteousness there in the third heaven age. 14, why would that be? Well, because it's all going to hell. It doesn't, okay? 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. There's our word again. I mean, you hastily move to it. You earnestly be prompt to go to it. Diligently that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You do that by following his word, by praying to him for knowledge and wisdom, intelligence, so that you can understand the very letter in the simplicity in which he writes. There's nothing complicated about it if you let divine power assist you in understanding. Verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. You know, you will have some jerk legs here in these end times. Pass around the word, Paul never walked with Christ. You don't want to pay attention to the writings of Paul. Well, Peter's giving him credentials here. If you're going to throw out Paul, you're going to have to throw out Peter and the rest of them too. So don't listen to nonsense. And there's beginning, that's beginning to build. They like to pull away God's word page at a time, and it won't fly. God's word is welded together under divine nature. It'll stay there. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things, these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, but as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And that's the way it can be. 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, before beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That virtue that's supposed to hold you into that word. Don't let someone take you out from under the veil or the covering, the umbrella of the divine nature, the Holy Spirit that is over you, that is protecting you. Let's finish the chapter, 18. But go in grace. That means unmerited favor that you earn, that he gives you. And in the knowledge, that's the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's that is what it says. So there you have it. This age is closing. We're coming to that time. It's not something, well, that really shakes me up. Well, then poor you. That's something you should be happy about. It means the Lord's returning. And will it happen in this generation? It will happen in the generation of the fig tree. It began in the year of our Lord, 1948. It is written, and God's word always comes to pass as it is written. No man knows the day or the hour, but you had better be diligent and be ready and armed with the promises of God, so that you know your ground and the ground that you stand on. Don't you let anyone else take any of that from you. Don't you allow, when the false one comes, oh, he is going to be awesome. He's going to perform miracles that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. But for the elect's sake, Christ has shortened the time all the way down to 5 months as a duration of Satan's time here. But don't fall. Don't fall for it. That's why we hammer it. That's why we teach it. And that's why you share and plant the seeds, so that people know, and that knowledge is present, that we are approaching that time. You know, both books of the Thessalonians and some of Peter has reference to the day of our Lord, preparing you for that, looking forward to it. Turn with me now to Hebrews. Back up about two books. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to complete this lecture here in this chapter. Let me bring you up to speed in case you might forget. We're talking here about a generation that saw God. They observed the parting of the Red Sea. They observed manna falling from heaven. They observed quail brought in for food. And yet, real quickly, after 40 years in the wilderness, they just fell away. It was ready. They should have been ready to go into the promised land. And God said, it's clear. I've cleared the giants out. You can go on in. But no, they shook and trembled. A bunch of wimps. And at God's order, they wouldn't go in. Kadesh Barnea. Where it happened. So what God did, he let them all die right there in the wilderness. You don't mess with him. Not when he gives you a direct order and document. I mean, they had seen, if you had seen all those miracles, you believe simply by hearing the word. These people witnessed miracles that were fantastic. And yet they went down the tubes. A whole generation, because they were deceived, and the sad part is, they deceived themselves. So that's where we pick this up. Chapter 4, verse 1, book of Hebrews. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You can enter into his rest today. That's peace of mind. Knowing the divine nature is over you. And what is rest? Sabbath. Okay. That's what the word Sabbath means, is rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It didn't do any good. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have seen in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, my Sabbath, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God knew what he was doing before the world was ever created. He knew some would fall. Why? Because he had to give them all free will so they would love him. And love without free will is not love. And he wanted the real thing. He wanted his children to care. That's important. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now, I want you to know that Christ, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover. That's the highest day of rest there is. So don't ever let anyone take it away from you that Christ is our rest. I don't care what day of the week or what the hour of the day is. He's there for you. 7/7 all the time. And when you're a believer, you don't worship a day. you worship Christ. Verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, if they'll just believe me and accept me, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And so it is. They just didn't believe. 7, again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And that day has continued ever since. When you hear him, don't harden your heart. Listen to him. That's the divine nature speaking to you. Be sure you listen to him. Learn from his word. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And naturally that day was when he became our rest, where he is our rest. That word is Sabbath. Okay. Verse 9, therefore remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath, to the people of God. You got it every day. Don't ever let someone have you worshiping a day of the week or the moon or months or anything. You're people of light, solar. You stay in the light. And that dispels darkness everywhere. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, that is to say his Sabbath, and he being that Sabbath, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. In other words, anything you might have planned in the flesh that disagreed with God's plan for you and your destiny, 11, let us labor. And here's our word, okay? This word labor is the word spudezo. I mean, it means diligently work at it, diligently and hastily work at it. Therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Spudazo, that is to be earnest, to show intelligence in following him, and certainly. Labor is a good translation because you work at it, and you have to, but it's a work of love to dig into the scripture and be guided under that divine nature, to hear his word, to see the truth, but to know the difference between a day of the week and the true Sabbath, which is the only rest you're going to find is in Christ. You're not going to find rest in some day of the week. Christ is the deliverer, the Savior. He was the Word that became flesh and walked among us, leading us, showing us perfectly well how to get it done. He was in the flesh and they crucified him. Well, you brother, you don't understand how rough I have it. Well, how would you like to have it his rough? Okay. He did it for you. He didn't whimper. He didn't wimp out. He didn't back off. Why? Because he became your rest, your assurance, your sure knowledge that he is with you, that he loves you. So there again, we have our word in the word labor. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive and it's powerful. And sharper than a two-edged sword. The word cuts both ways. Piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He can discern. You can't con him. He knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. And he knows what you're thinking. That's why you want to rest in him. You want to be in him. You want to leave that part where, well, I think I could maybe cheat a little bit and do this, that, no, no. Do it his way. And you'll always be blessed. The divine nature will be over you. He is a discerner. That simply means he knows your heart. But do you know something? At the same time, those gifts that he gave, do you understand that the spirit of discernment is one of the gifts he gives you? So that when you hear something, this man or any other man, you know whether it's true or not. Because he gives you the spirit of discernment. It is a powerful thing, a powerful tool to lead you, guide you, and direct you. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows it all. There's no secrets. So, you know, you've heard people maybe say, well, I would sure hate for God to know about that. Well, he does. Okay, you can rest assured. That means you better repent because he already knows. There just is nothing hidden. Everything is naked. 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, he's there, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You stick with the word. You stick with that rest. Don't be like those at Kadesh Barnea that wimped out right at the last minute and died because of it. 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. Well, how can he understand our feelings? It's simple. But was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. He came in the flesh and had the same temptations and shrugged them off. No problem whatsoever. Why? Because of the divine nature. Verse 16, to complete. Let us therefore come boldly. It doesn't mean just creep in or slip. Boldly. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And with these end times closing, there was never more a time of need than now. It's for I don't care how well we're equipped in God's word. You need him. You need that rest. And do you know how God teaches? Isn't it beautiful how he did this? He said, hey, I want to take your mind. If you want to know what can happen to you, I'm going to take you back in history, and you look at Kadesh Barnea. You look where they crossed the Red Sea. You look where Pharaoh was beaten back. I did that, is what he's saying. For those that listened to me, those that didn't listen, they died. So that's the way God teaches, is by history. Well, you're living that history future even today of coming upon the end times. So always make sure that you diligently, that's earnestly, spudazo, that you stay in his word. Do it with haste. I mean, you can't waste any time. If he gives you something, get into it. Search it out. Find it. And ask for him. But don't ask for yourself. Ask so that you can be a blessing to others. And unashamedly, he will assist you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your written word. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter that rest, Father, that divine nature, the protection over us, Lord only knows how we need it in this generation, Father. Watch over us. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
To the point of making Scripture come to pass as it's written, without having them on Judgment Day say, "Why did you do that to me?" Because they've already overcome. God will not interfere in someone's life by force that has free will to change anything about their life so that on Judgment Day they can't say, "You're the one that did it." Now, if they ask him prayerfully, and it is their asking, then God might change something for that one that has free will, okay? Pastor, this is Gino from Arkansas. I believe the Facebook student site has been taken down after hearing your answers to numerous questions that you are not in approval of the Facebook or YouTube, not because they claim to be me. And they're not giving answers I would give. In many cases, I still see folks still sharing your website link on Facebook, nothing more. Is it permissible to share the Shepherd's Chapel website with folks on Facebook? It's a crime. How can I tell you it's all right when it's criminal? And we have one or two that are giving a little trouble, and we're probably going to have to sue them. You mean sue a Christian? They're not Christian, they're thieves. Okay. We have to take care of business. God expects discipline. And God expects us to take care of discipline. It is a crime to reproduce copyrighted material in any form or way and make it public. So you don't want to be a criminal. Everything is free on television, and we have our own website. It's there free. You don't need to go playing with a bunch of thieves, okay? Harry from Florida, if God loves us so much, why would he send us to hell? Well, what makes you think that God loves somebody so much he's going to send to hell? Okay. You think God doesn't have emotions? Malachi chapter 1, Jacob by love, Esau, I hate it because of what he did in the first earth age. You see, our father cares about his children. He cares about the children until he practiced discipline. In other words, by the end of the millennium, which is when the great white throne judgment takes place, anyone that is sentenced to hell there, which means the second death, the death of the soul, then they have had every opportunity. Why? Because they will be in spiritual bodies in the millennium. And there will be teaching in that thousand-year period. It's called the Lord's Day. And anyone that refuses the open door, which is to say Christ, the Savior, God's going to protect his children because we're going to be there for an eternity, and we don't want a bunch of malefactors there. It's time to do away with them. It's his love for his children that causes him to send someone to hell that deserves it. Bill from Missouri, did the daughters of Adam know they were being seduced by the fallen angels? Well, they were pretty impressive. And they must have, because it is written in Genesis chapter 6 that only Noah's family had a perfect, the word is generation, but it means pedigree in the Hebrew tongue. Neither he nor his wife, nor his sons, nor their wives had intermixed with the fallen angels, whereby there were Geber, meaning giants, present there at that time. So it was on a pretty mass scale. Pastor Murray, please tell me what this means. Thanks. And it is the fish with the letters which cipher Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. It's what identifies a Christian church in dangerous areas in times past. Because the word fish in the Greek is Son of God, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Lenora from Michigan. Is it okay to anoint yourself to help someone else if that person doesn't know that you are doing it for them? Of course it does. That's called intercession. Intercession prayer, or anointing, or whatever the case may be, is perfectly all right. God honors that. So you feel free to do it. Betty from Nebraska. Pastor, please tell me how I can help my 12-year-old grandson study the Bible. He is asking me questions. Well, Betty, answer them as best you can. And, you know, don't ever... I answer many questions and in front of live audiences and everywhere. And some preachers will say, well, why do you do that? Or, you know, because I don't mind saying I don't know something. And don't you mind saying, I don't know, but let's find out. And you take your Strong's Concordance and get in there and teach him how to dig it out. But you are blessed that he's asking you questions, because that is God saying, plant a seed. So you're blessed. Carl from Ohio. My wife and I donate to organizations such as, 1, Children with Cancer, 2, Homeless Hungry People, 3, Animals League, and they all believe in Easter. Should we still support these organizations? Well, everybody must feel led to do what they feel is right, and no one can advise you on that. I would make one recommendation, that you read the second epistle of John. What does the second epistle of John say? It says, if you even as much as wish Godspeed to a false teacher, you are becoming a part of it. Now, if you have no conviction and you still feel it's right, you continue on doing what because God leads us to do what he would have us do. Randy from Oklahoma, I want to thank you for teaching God's word so I can understand. He gave you a great gift. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I can read, but I don't understand. And when you teach, I can understand. I have a question I have asked before, but I guess you didn't find it. The question is, if I die before Satan comes, will I still know him in my spirit body? I know he won't trick me in my flesh body. Thank you. He won't trick you in your spiritual body either, because you'll be in a different place than he is, 1. You'll be on the right side of the gulf in paradise. He's not there. But there's nothing wrong with it's called those that have the truth and pass on before, it's called the remnant. There has always been a remnant of God's elect that bring forth the real word of God, gift it and deliver it, whereby people have an opportunity to hear truth and not fiction. And it's God's blessings. But they're called the remnant, and there's nothing wrong with that. And at the same time, God is putting together an army in heaven that's going to come here with him. And that's why we won't be fighting in Armageddon and Hamagog. God and the angels will, because God wants the atheists and the nations that would come against to know he's real. God is real. And when he takes them out, that will be their lesson to know. And then, of course, comes the millennium, and they will see him. Christ, that is to say. Aletha from California. I also want to know where in the Bible it's mentioned that Cain is the son of the devil. I hope this letter makes it on the question and answer. Well, congratulations, it did. Probably, there's many places, but probably the best place is St. John, the book we just completed, chapter 8, verse 44, where he said, "You claim to be of our brother Judah, but, you know, do things he didn't. You are of your father, the first murderer." Now, who was the first murderer? Well, it was Cain, of course. "And the deeds of your father you will do. You are the children of the devil." And you can also read in Matthew chapter 13 for a second witness. Begin reading with 35, and it'll take you down through 42, where he will tell you Satan's the one that planted the wicked seed, the Kenites. Okay, Sandy from West Virginia. "I want to know if I still have a chance for forgiveness." And, well, of course you do. I see that you've had quite a life. But what did Christ tell the disciples? If you repent 490 times, 7 times 70, that's how God said, if they truly repent, you forgive them. And certainly that's the way he is. He loves to forgive somebody that's honest. And in the flesh, God doesn't wake up every morning and say, "Wonder who I can zap today." He loves his children. He leads them, he directs them. He feeds them with the food, the manna, which is the word of God from heaven. And I don't care how many times you feel you backslid. When you come to him with a loving heart and you are really repentant, don't ever try to con him, because he knows what you're thinking. He will forgive you. So it's never too late, okay? Not in this earth age. In the millennium, it could be too late. Gene from California. "Are demons and fallen angels the same thing?" No. Demons are evil spirits. That's the way it's written in the manuscripts. That they are evil spirits, and they are the opposite of the Holy Spirit. For every negative, there is a positive. And for every positive, there is a negative. But the fallen angels are, according to Revelation 11, there's only 7,000 of them. They're seeing, it seems like that little book of Jude's coming up quite a bit today, doesn't it? But in the first 6 verses of that great book of Jude, little short book right before Revelation, it states that their sin is they left their place of habitation and came to earth as angel beings, which Adam's made in their perfect image, meaning they were male, and they seduced the daughters of Adam. Mark from South Carolina, but evil spirits are, it can even be Satan's evil spirit, okay? Mark from South Carolina, thank God for your fellowship and leadership. I have a question about swearing. If you have to go to court and they ask you to put your hand on the Bible and swear, is that wrong? I think it is, but it's unclear to me. Thank you. You're just, if I were not going to tell the truth, then I might give that a lot of thought. But if you're going to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. God will bless you for it. So the Word of God is not something we have to be afraid of. You want to hold it near and dear. It's precious. Stacy from New York, where in the Bible can I read about how many sacred names of God there is? Well, there's really only one. There's many used. Adonai and El and... But his real name is, what did he say to Moses? Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? And he said, tell them Yah sent you. So Yahweh is the sacred name, Yahweh. And that is really the only one, the true sacred name. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves it. Do you understand it's a letter he sent to you, and it makes his day when you study that letter to be pleasing to him. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offering. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? You bless God, he will always bless you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Most important, listen to me. Listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad. That's to say the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes scattered abroad, being very specific in your freedom of Christianity, the repentance, giving much personal instruction as far as controlling our thoughts and finding peace, and giving us those parameters wherein Christianity, defining those things that come from the Word of God. Example, that bitter and sweet water cannot come from the same spring. Well, from God's Word, you should not have both either. The practice of healing brought forth in this book of James. I know you're going to like it. James, that great book of instruction.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Open your Bible and let's go to class with Dr. Murray for a better understanding of our Father's Word.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. You know what we're going to do? We just finished the book of Revelation. We're going to play a while. We're going to just discuss, call it recap, but I would prefer to call it perhaps the most asked questions concerning the book of Revelation. Now that it's fresh in your minds, I think it's a good way for you to cement these things in your mind, the most asked questions, whereby you can feel at ease with the book of Revelation. Number one, the word revelation, regardless of what language you say it in, means to unveil, to uncover.